And just reminding people that I'm just recording the talk section for people to be mindful of that.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So just thinking about hydroxycarbamide, in general, what is it? So it's a sort of medicine, that we take in capsule form. There's a little box there. It's quite a sort of standard sort of size capsule, not particularly big or small. And it actually does lots of things in the blood. And that's important to know that. We'll come back to that. But in sickle, it has been shown in clinical trials in the early 90s, to reduce the amount of sickle pain crises, sickle chest crises, and the need for admission and transfusion. So it's been used a lot, especially over the last 30 years in sickle cell. It's important to note also that at the moment in 2021 in the UK, it's the only medicine that's licensed for sickle that actually changes the disease process. And by that, I mean it changes the sickle to make it milder in most patients. And that's different to other medication you might be taking, like folic acid, which is a vitamin that helps all of us make blood, make red blood cells, or an antibiotic like penicillin, which tries to prevent infection. So they're more what we would call supportive treatments, which is in contrast to hydroxycarbamide, which is actually doing something to the sickle. And it's got lots of names. So hydroxycarbamide is a more modern name, which most British and Europeans use. Hydroxyurea is actually more an older name, but more Americans use it. And the trade name when it first came out was Hydrea, which is a bit easier to say, but they're all the same thing. Okay. So how does hydroxycarbamide work? It actually does lots of things, but the key thing in terms of sickle is that it ends up reducing the amount of sickling because it boosts what's called fetal hemoglobin. Now, I'm conscious there's different people in the audience with slightly different sorts of sickle, but all of us, whether you've got sickle or not, have a little bit of fetal hemoglobin in the bloodstream, maybe 1-3%, which when we were all in our mum's tummies as fetuses, that was our main hemoglobin, fetal hemoglobin. It's good, normal hemoglobin, works perfectly fine, but that switches after birth to a different hemoglobin. If you've got sickle SS, that switches to S. If you've got no hemoglobin problem, say like me, it switches to AA. Okay, so fetal hemoglobin is good, and if we can switch on any mechanism to make that higher, so there's more fetal hemoglobin, that means there's less sickle hemoglobin in sickle cell, and so less sickling. Okay, so there's a picture there at the top. So there's lots of sickle cells, as you can see. And then after therapy, we can often see this in patients as a reduced amount of sickling. And that's because there's more of this fetal hemoglobin around, which stops sickling. I think this is a really important slide. So will hydroxycarbamide work for me? And the answer is probably, but not definitely. So it probably works for about 80% of people. And that's because the way it works to boost this fetal hemoglobin is we've all got slightly different genetics, all of us, and some of us seem to respond just a little bit better than others. And for some, it works really, really well, and they get really good fetal hemoglobins. Others, it works moderately well, and they do notice a benefit. And some people, it doesn't actually really work that well at all in terms of what you notice in terms of your pain or what we notice in terms of the blood parameters. And the other thing to say, and this is partly because of how it works, and most of us have red cells in us that last for a little while, is it's not something that works straight away. Most patients where it does work feel they have an improvement in their health normally 2 months or so, maybe 3 months after they start treatment. And it's generally boosting, obviously, the fetal hemoglobin, and so red cells live longer, so your hemoglobin's higher, so people generally report feeling brighter on it because they're less anemic. It's a bit harder to think about whether it's working necessarily for sickle crises, because if you have, say, 2 sickle crises a year, it's hard straight away to know, well, that could have just been 3 months without a sickle crisis for me anyway. So it's a bit harder to judge at the beginning. And what we would normally say is to try it for 6 months, because we need that time for it to take an effect, but also for you to notice a difference and see if it's working for you. Okay. So I just looked last night to see how many people we've got on hydroxy in our clinic. There's 242 adults, so quite a lot of people on hydroxy in the Guy's adult sickle clinic, and quite a lot of children in the Evelina with sickle on it as well. And like I say, probably about 80% of our benefits. I'm not going to dwell on this, but there's a lot of trials looking at hydroxycarbamide. The most important one was in the early 90s, on the second row there, where it was shown to decrease imagine crisis, acute chest syndrome, and hospitalization as well. And since then, there have been other studies. The baby hug, for example, was looking at hydroxycarbamide in babies, so from the age of 9 months, that decreased the crisis frequency. There's been other studies looking at other things more recently, and in particular some of the longer term effects like cardiac and renal function, where we often suggest it's used as well. Okay, so this has sort of changed over time, who is hydroxy used for. And like, sort of going back to the original 90s trial, this was mostly used for patients with really severe, frequent crisis who are in hospital really frequently with bad pain. That's sort of changed now, so that we actually use it or offer it to most patients with SS and some patients with SC. And I think that's just with experience we've sort of changed that, and that's sort of translated into guidelines. So for example, in the United States, guidelines from a couple of years ago now recommend that all patients, children and adults with SS, should be offered hydroxycarbamide, should be on hydroxycarbamide, sorry. And I think we're slightly less rigid in the UK, and I think it's certainly worth all patients, certainly with SS and severe patients with SC, we have a discussion about it and that people are offered it. I think the other thing to note is we've sort of focused on it being used in frequent crisis or acute chest syndromes, but we're using it more when people have other problems like very low hemoglobin levels or problems with their kidneys and heart as well. So we've touched on a lot of these already. What are the good things about hydroxy? Well, the key obvious one is the number and severity of crises. And the thing that we get worried about is chest crises in particular, and it reduces the risk of chest crises. Because it's boosting your hemoglobin, it's also been shown to mean that people need fewer blood transfusions if that's an issue for them. More recent studies have suggested that it can increase your life expectancy. They're slightly difficult, more difficult to interpret, because obviously there's some sort of selection in terms of who might be put on it as well. And I think mostly because of the improvement in your hemoglobin, so less anemia, that can improve people's quality of life. So if they feel brighter, less lethargic, or they feel like less shortness of breath. What can't it do? I think this is really important. I mean, you all very well know that sickle's not just about pain. A lot of things, unfortunately, can happen with sickle. Maybe none of them, maybe lots of them, and people are very different. But we know that hydroxy doesn't help with leg ulcers. It doesn't help with avascular necrosis, which is the chronic bone damage that can sometimes happen. It doesn't help with people who have lots of infections. And we haven't really got a clear role for it in preventing stroke, where we tend to use transfusions. And it doesn't particularly necessarily work with priapism directly, although it might help overall symptoms if people are, men are having priapism. I've just written in red there, just to remember, this is something that's changing the red cells by making more fetal hemoglobin and less sickle hemoglobin. So it's not a painkiller itself. It just reduces the number of times you experience painful crises. That all sounds good, obviously, but whenever we're talking about treatment, we have to talk about the bad things, the side effects as well. And I guess one of the reasons that we're having this conversation, or when we're having it in clinic, it's it is something that we tend to discuss in a lot more detail than a lot of other medications we prescribe, and that's because it's a strong medication. It does need monitoring, and you do need to be aware of the side effects if you're taking it. I think the most important side effect you need to be aware of is that it can affect the bone marrow, and the bone marrow is the factory of blood cells, if you like, and so it dampens it down, and that can mean that there's a reduction in lots of cell counts. We've got 3 cells in our blood: anemia on red cells, white cells, and platelets. So the risk in theory would be that it would affect these and drop it down too low. Now, actually, in sickle, what we know, because of some inflammation in the background, is that most patients with sickle have a high normal or even high white cell count and platelet count anyway. So it's actually good to bring it down a little bit, but we obviously don't want it to come down too much. And that's why we sort of do the dosing in quite a gentle way, by starting people at a low dose and then increasing up slowly. And then the most important thing in terms of monitoring, and this is a really important consideration, is that you would have to be coming to hospital more frequently than you would if you weren't taking hydroxycarbamide normally. So we normally like to take bloods every 2 to 3 months, which now is in the nurse-led hydroxy clinic with Scholler and Neil, where they phone you, and that clinic runs most days of the week and arrange for you to have a blood test. And it's slightly more convenient for you than having to come to sickle clinics on the sort of rigid Tuesday afternoons and Friday mornings. The other side effect, which I failed to put here, I'm sorry, is thinking about fertility, and that's the other important side effect. So this is an important thing for men, really, rather than women. Most men don't have their sperm affected by hydroxycarbamide, but a small minority, so about 5%, can do. And that means that when they're on hydroxycarbamide, their sperm count or their sperm motility is reduced. And for most of those, when they come off hydroxycarbamide, it then returns to normal. However, that's not the case for all of those. So in a really small number of men, it can just stay, the sperm count can stay reduced. And that's why if we're talking about men, two men about hydroxycarbamide, we talk about doing something called sperm banking, where men are seen in the fertility clinic here at Guy's to produce sperm samples. And they're basically banked in the freezer in case this rare side effect is an issue in the future. And then there's some less common side effects listed there. I think the one in particular I get asked most questions about, because the other ones are rarer, are the changing colour of the skin and nails. It's mostly the nail bed, so the fingers and the toes, this can happen, where that becomes darker. And it's something that I know that some people get sort of concerned about. What does that mean? From a medical standpoint, we're not concerned about that. But obviously, from a cosmetic point of view, there's something that's changing about your body. I know that can concern patients. So it's not changing it in a pathological way. It's just changing the skin colour slightly. And it's most common, like I say, in the nail bed. Sometimes it can be your actual skin as well. It generally gets darker. That doesn't carry on going and going if you take hydroxy for many years. It's normally just within a few months and then that plateaus. Okay. I'm happy to come back to these side effects, but I'll just continue the presentation for now. I hope you know the answer to this question. Do you have a choice about this? Yes, you always have a choice about all things in healthcare as a competent adult. So I think finding information out, whether it's a one-to-one in clinic or, through this sort of chat is really healthy. If you're looking on the internet, be really careful about what you read, because obviously there's different things from less reputable sources. So look at things, say, with an NHS stamp or from a site that you trust. So I think all of these go without saying. Obviously, take the right dose that's prescribed. And every different person has a slightly different dose. Going back to the blood counts being affected, it's important that we tailor the dose that you've got to what your blood counts are. It's also important you take it every day for it to work, because it's constantly boosting your fetal hemoglobin, and that sort of takes time. So we don't want you to take it perhaps when you just have a pain crisis, then stop it. It needs to be taken every day. We've touched on this already. So as I've said, treatment starts at a low dose and then we build that up slowly. To be honest, most people are probably between 2 and 4 capsules each day. And that depends on things like weight and blood counts. So when you start it, we've touched on the fact you need more regular blood tests. And once you're on a stable dose, you need blood tests every sort of 2 to 3 months. But at first, or if the dose is changed, you need another blood test after a couple of weeks. It's really important these blood tests are done, otherwise we can't prescribe the hydroxycarbamide. I think of this in parallel. You need the blood test so you can get the prescription. Like other sort of strong medications, it's important we see what the counts are. We've spoken about this a bit already. It does take a few months for you to notice a difference. And normally feeling the boost in hemoglobin is easier to notice and feeling perhaps less short of breath rather than how many pain crises you are, because it's hard perhaps to quantify that. What about other medications? Yes, so hydroxy is pretty much always an adjunct, so a separate add-on to everything else that you're taking. So carry on the folic acid, carry on the antibiotics, and if you need painkillers, you can take them as per normal for a crisis. Okay. It's important you always tell doctors, whether it's us that you're taking new medications from someone else or somebody else prescribing it. Okay. So that's it from the formal presentation. I've got a few extra slides in case particular questions come up, but I just thought it would be more helpful to sort of chat and people to ask questions.
Yeah, a few people have their hands up and there's a few questions in the chat as well. So whichever order that you would like to go. Okay.
Well, shall we have some talking questions first? Because that might spur on other chats.
Well, yep, do unmute yourself to ask. Liz,
Sorry. What did you ask me to speak?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.